Philosophy and Catechism, a regular podcast on the Catechism of the Anglican Church in North America. I am but your amateur catechist, Richard Reeb. This is a production of Amateur Anglican. Hello, welcome back. It's been a bit. I've been busy with work. It sort of overtook my life for a bit there. And of course, I'm remembering why I used to do this just once a week, now that I'm back in the office regularly. So my apologies for my absence. Let's open with some prayer and then I'll talk some more. Almighty and most merciful God, it is only by your grace that your faithful people offer you true and laudable service. Grant that we may run into without stumbling, to obtain your heavenly promises through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So, coffee-wise, I'm drinking a caramel latte blend, Highland Brewing. Oh, gosh, I meant to actually remember this, and then I got busy this morning. So I'm actually recording from a new device, new setup, and I'm hoping it all sounds like you're used to hearing, except maybe better audio quality. That would be the great hope. So among the variety of technical challenges that your somewhat competent technical host, I had to figure out was how to get that tolling bell sound that I found in 2019 from my phone over onto the new computer. First, I had to find it, get it over, get it set up and working. It just took a while to find it. And also find the right kind of software to record. And it turned out I actually could use what I'd already been using because it's an Apple product. So transitioned right over. I just was looking for it wrong. Among the variety of technical challenges that seem so obvious once you find them and fix them. So I spent a lot of time doing that. And which is fortunate because this is actually a really simple question and answer this week. This is more than anything a sort of launch on the new recording apparatus. It's just a different device that I'm recording to. I bought a Mac Mini instead of recording it on my phone. And I think so far I'm getting a little better audio quality. That's what I'm hearing in my headphones. I'm not using a USB to Lightning dongle, which I think I was losing some quality in that process. It worked pretty well, but I think over time it was starting to develop some, I was getting some feedback that just didn't sound good. And I'm pretty sure it was the fact that I'm using this sort of unapproved USB to Lightning dongle to connect the Yeti microphone to my iPhone, and just they didn't want to play nice in the sandbox together. So let's go over the question and answer, and then we'll wrap it up because it's pretty simple this morning. But like I said, I spent a fair amount of time just running through this and making sure it would run well. But that's enough commentary from me today. So we're up to question 174 in the Catechism. 174, what are some other names for God given in Scripture? Answer, throughout Scriptures, God is known as Lord. Through the person and ministry of Jesus Christ, God is also revealed to be one God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So let's go through all Scripture references, which are all of two. Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And then Mark 1:24, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, question and answer. What are some other names for God given in Scripture? Throughout Scriptures, God is known as Lord. Through the person and ministry of Jesus Christ, God is also revealed to be one God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, Matthew 28:19, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. And of course, baptizing is that tricky little Greek word. It's, the word itself is not particularly tricky. The tricky part is the translation. So much had been imbued in that word. My complaints about my Greek have to do that it sounds like my Spanish. But when that's the only other language you know, you have a tendency to pronounce everything else like the other language that you know. Bautizo is the Greek word. So you can see it's actually transliterated rather than translated. Because bautizo in the Greek literally means to immerse. So it therefore has an object, right? To immerse in water, baptizing them. So you can see that that creates problems when you want to talk about baptism as a thing, as the immersion in water, or a phrase like this, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. My contention always been is that there's a duality to this. It does literally mean to baptize, to immerse in water, but also to teach people the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You baptize them in those names because you're going to teach them those names. And then, of course, in Mark, you have a jump to demons recognizing who Jesus is, which is not always, you know, I heard it from a demon. Right, not a really good intro, but they're absolutely terrified of him. Right, you know, have you come to destroy us? Like, oh, bleep, here he comes, we're toast. Right, they know who he is. You know, this doesn't seem to be any sort of play acting, right? Like, ooh, look who it is. No. It's like, is this the hour of our destruction? We knew this was coming. You're God. What's going to happen? Now, that says a lot about Jesus, right? Immediately the demons are terrified, which is good. It's a good thing. So, what am I talking? In Genesis, it says, let us make man in our image. And there's a initial reference to this triune nature that's talked about here, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So in Christ, there's this full revelation, including of the Spirit, right? Because he says the Spirit will come, I will send him, right? And he sent. Am I getting off topic a little bit? I'm a little distracted by the fact that my setup is not how I'm used to having it, and I'm having to rewire some mental pathways. And there's my chair creaking. I'm gonna stop moving like that. So again, back to God is fully revealed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So here's Augustine of Hippo on the Mark 1:24 passage. Call to mind with me the time when Peter was praised and called blessed. Was it because he merely said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God? No, he pronounced him blessed, regarded not merely the sound of his words, but the affections of his heart. Compare that with the words of the demons who said almost the same thing. We know who you are, the Son of God, just as Peter had confessed him as Son of God. So what is the difference? Peter spoke in love, but the demons in fear. So tell us how faith is to be defined if even the devils can believe and tremble. Only the faith that works by love is faith. Here ends the reading. And of course, I'm going to throw on that love is an active thing too. I think the parable of Jesus, that Jesus gives of the father coming to the two sons, go out to the field and work. And the one says, Father, I will go, but he doesn't. The other says, I will not go, but later reconsiders and goes and works in the field. Jesus asks, who does the will of his father? And they, of course, answer, the son who actually went out and did it. Even though his words didn't match his intentions at the beginning, right? He didn't immediately do what the father said. He said he wouldn't do, but he went and did it anyway. That's doing the will of the father. What is the, do your actions meet that love? Love thy neighbor as thyself. It's a high standard of love, of course, which only can be thoroughly accomplished through and by the Spirit, imbued to us by Christ at our baptism. Walk in love as Christ has loved us. So, this is really short, but it's a really short question and answer. Didn't have a lot of scripture to go into. And I suppose I could find myself committing rank heresy by going into the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Suffice it to say, I think the Athanasius Creed does a great job of really... It's one of the creeds accepted by the church. I'm not sure if my judgment has anything to do with whether it's good or not. It's good because the church has said it's good for the last, I don't know, 1600 years. Athanasian Creed has been around for a while. If you have the catechism, the Athanasian Creed is in there. And, you know, I have time. I might as well just, let me find it and read it. All right, so found it's in the appendix 4, page 129 of the Catechism, if you want to read along. The Creed of St. Athanasius. Whoever will be saved, before all things, it is necessary that he hold the Catholic faith. Which faith, except everyone do keep whole and undefiled, without doubt he shall perish everlastingly. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Ghost. But the Godhead of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost is all one, the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Ghost. The Father uncreate, the Son uncreate, and the Holy Ghost uncreate. The Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, and the Holy Ghost incomprehensible. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Ghost eternal. And yet they are not three eternals, but one eternal. As also there are not three incomprehensibles, nor three uncreated, but one uncreated and one incomprehensible. So likewise, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, and the Holy Ghost almighty. And yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Ghost is God. And yet there are not three gods, but one God. So likewise, the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, and Holy Ghost Lord. And yet not three lords, but one Lord. For like as we are compelled by the Christian verity to acknowledge every person by himself to be both God and Lord, so are we forbidden by the Catholic religion to say there are three gods or three lords. The Father is made of none, neither created nor begotten. The Son is of the Father alone, not made nor created, but begotten. And the Holy Ghost is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding. So there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Ghost, not three Holy Ghosts. And in this Trinity, none is afore or after another. None is greater and less than another. but the whole three persons are co-eternal together and co-equal. So that in all things, as is aforesaid, the unity in Trinity and the Trinity in unity is to be worshipped. He, therefore, that will be saved must think thus of the Trinity. Therefore, it is necessary to everlasting salvation that he also rightly believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the right faith is that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God and man, God of the substance of the Father, begotten before the worlds, a man of the substance of his mother, born in the world, perfect God and perfect man, of a reasonable soul and flesh subsisting, equal to the Father as touching his Godhead, and inferior to the Father as touching his manhood, who, although he be God and man, yet he is not two, but one Christ. One, not by conversion of the Godhead into flesh, but by taking of the manhood into God. One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person. For as the reasonable soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ, who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead. He ascended to heaven, he sitteth at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the quick and the dead, at whose coming all men will rise again with their bodies and shall give account for their own works. And they that have done good shall go into everlasting life, and they that have done evil into everlasting fire. This is the Catholic faith, which except a man believe faithfully, he cannot be saved. Athanasius Creed. So I think that wraps it up for today. I should really find a prayer here. See, I'm a little discombobulated today. So thank you for listening. Feedback, amateuranglican@gmail.com. amateuranglican@gmail.com. So here's a closing prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, you stretched out your arms of love on the hard wood of the cross, that everyone might come within the reach of your saving embrace. So clothe us in your spirit, that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not know you to the knowledge and love of you. For the honor of your name, amen.